talker. Please take your Bibles and would you go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter number 18. I am amazed by that missionary and his family. Six boys and seven girls. Unbelievable. That takes great faith. what a family there. And he's only here in the States for 10 days. And he called me up. His brother had told him about our church, and he said, talking to him on the phone, he said, my brother said that of all the churches that he's been to, your church was so receptive for him. And he said that if I was here in the States, that I need to come by and visit your church. And I thank you, church, for being that way towards our missionaries. And you just have that sweet spirit. And let's keep that up. I thank you so much for that. We're in Proverbs chapter 18, and as you're turning there, Proverbs 18, verse number 1, we've been in this series of hunger and understanding that the definition behind hunger is having a desire for something. I consistently have different desires or hungers for things. I was thinking about this Friday, me and my kids. Every week we have family night on Friday night, and we get together and we'll have time, we'll play together. I'll come home early from work and we'll play together, and then after that they always know we're gonna eat some food. And it's either one of two things, pizza or wings. Oh, and we get those Wingstop wings, and oh, they're so good. And I asked the girls Thursday, I said, what do you guys want for family night? You want pizza? And I said, okay, you got to raise your hand. And I said, oh, who wants pizza? And Evie and Chloe both raised their hand. And I said, okay, who wants wings? And me and my wife raised our hand. And then Evie goes, I want it too. And so I said, ha, Chloe, you lose. And she goes, Evie voted twice. I said, I didn't say how many times you can vote. And so we got wings. And oh, I was looking forward to having wings. One of my favorite ones there, and I'm going off track here. One of my favorite ones is the garlic parmesan wings. I like those, and the Cajun, the Louisiana rub. There we go, Louisiana rub. I like those, and I remember all day. I was looking forward to it all day. I had that desire, and when I got there, I walked through the door. I could smell all those different flavors as it hit my nose, and I began to get excited. And then as I put the bag in my car and I'm driving, and oh, that smell. So I dipped my hand in the bag and I pulled out some fries, and I began to eat the fries. Oh, those fries are so good. I don't know what they do to them, but they're addictive. Those fries are addictive. I think they sprinkle cocaine on it or something. I don't know. They're good. I've got to get some fries. And so I had that desire. We got home, and the girls, wings, they got so excited because they had that desire too. You know, our life is much like how we are with our stomach. Depending on what we desire is the direction where we go. And last week we took a look at Jesus as after he fed the 5,000. Remember that great miracle? As he fed 5,000 people, and it was probably more than that. And all around those people, they had a desire for things about Christ, but they didn't have a desire for Christ himself. You see, they wanted his blessings. Oh, they liked when he was feeding them all that food and they were filled. They liked that. They wanted, they liked the blessings, but you know what else they wanted? They wanted the ministry. You say, well, that sounds great. That's good. Oh yeah, the ministry is good, but they didn't want the ministry to serve people. They wanted the people to serve them. And not only that, but they wanted to see God heal people. Now, I think it's great when people get healed of diseases. I think of Brother Blanco when he died right here, and God healed him. That was a tremendous miracle. let me tell you something. That was glory to God. These people, they wanted to see the miracles because it entertained them. It was like a Benny Hinn service where people are getting slapped on their forehead and expecting them to be healed of their ailments. That's what they were looking for. They didn't want Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I am the true bread. And one thing that we learned about hungering for the right things, while those people hungered for the wrong things, we must hunger for the right things. And three things we learned about that is the fact that when you hunger for the right things, you're satisfied. Those people weren't satisfied with the food that they got on that mount when they were fed the bread and the fish. They weren't satisfied. They came back looking for more. But when you have Jesus Christ, you never come back looking for something else, because He is all the world to you. He's everything that you need. As He told the woman at the well, He says, I'll give you water that you'll thirst no more. And so when you have the right type of hunger for Christ, you will be satisfied. But the second thing that we saw about having the right kind of hunger is, and I want to make sure I'm with my notes here, the second thing we saw here is it leads to life. Jesus said that if you eat of this bread, you'll live forever. What is He talking about? He's talking about the fact that He grants eternal life. You know, just as we eat bread in order to sustain life, taking the bread of life doesn't sustain life, it gives life. And He says, you hunger for Me and I will give you life. But the last thing there, and one of the most important things, especially as we're going through this world, is having the right type of hunger removes the wrong type of hunger. You know, as we live in this world, there are many things that tempt us. There are things that tempt us day by day. And if we can set the right type of hunger, if we can get ourselves to desire the right type of things, let me tell you what, we begin to get tunnel vision. And we begin to only see the things that we want. You know, that Friday night, as I drove by McDonald's, you know what? I didn't want McDonald's. That Friday night, as I drove by Burger King, I looked at Burger King and went, bye. I didn't want that. It wasn't tempting. I drove by the pizza place, and you know, it wasn't tempting. I drove by sushi. It wasn't tempting. But I tell you, once I got up to Wingstop, that's what I want. That's where my desire was at. You like how all my illustrations are going with food here? All day today, it's been that way. That's my hunger. That's my direction in life. And when we hunger for the right things, we don't have to worry about the wrong things. Understanding that, it leads us here to Proverbs 18. And we'll just read that first verse. The Bible says, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. And let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, use this short time we have in the Bible. And Lord, help us as we seek to have the right type of hunger. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will desire the right things in our life. I pray that husbands would begin to desire the right type of things for their marriage. I pray wives would desire the right type of things for their marriage. I pray each parent will desire the right type of things for their children. I pray each young person would desire the right type of things for their life. May each church member begin to desire the right type of things. Help us here tonight in your gracious and holy name. Amen. Understanding this proverb, we see really the first phrase that kind of sticks out to us, and it says, through desire. Through desire. And desire is an amazing thing to have, and I think each and every person ought to have a desire in their life. Husbands, you ought to have a desire for that woman you call wife. I think it's vitally important that you as a husband have a desire for your wife. Husbands, love your wife. You know what that word love is? Desire. Because if you love the right things, you will leave go the wrong things. And when we miscue some of our love, some of our desire, we tend to miscue the wrong things in our life. And so here he's saying through desire, wives, we have to love our husbands. Now, that comes a little easier for a woman. A woman's tendency is to love. But it still doesn't go without saying we ought to love our husband, because let me tell you what, as a husband, we do dumb things often, early and often. And sometimes you have to just love us. Parents, love your children. Have desire toward your children. Desire, meaning that you seek to be with them. I think so often we can get so clouded with different things, distracted, if you will. Work is important, but work really doesn't mean anything if your kids are going haywire. Oh, sure, you may be tired, and you might want to sit down and watch TV, but understand, your children are only young once. Sure, you may have your own ideas and your own things that you want to do, but understand, you must have a desire for your children, because before you know it, they're going to be grown up and gone. I remember Kyle was 4 years old when I got here. Brother Revis, when I first got here, Kyle, that boy was 4 years old. He was a ring bearer in my wedding. Kyle is, how old are you now? 14. He's 14. Before you know it, like that. We must have desire toward our children. Children, have desire for your parents. Especially you ones that are getting older. Yeah, you want to go off and do your own thing, but have a desire for your parents. A part of me wishes I had more of a desire as a high school student to hang out with my mom. But let me tell you, each and every one of us, we need to have a desire for God. A true desire, saying, I want to have a desire. I want to do something for God. Can you honestly say this week you said, man, I've got to do something for God. I've got to get away. You understand, we do the things that we want to do. Hey, if you want to make time to go to the gym, you will make time if you desire it enough. Sometimes I just don't desire it. I desire Wingstop more than I do the gym sometimes. If you want to get your house clean, you'll make time to clean up your house. Those things that we want to do, we truly have a desire for, we will find time to do them. And here he says, through desire. In Proverbs 13:12, it says, desire is a tree of life. Tree of life is almost like a blooming. There's so much hope. There's so much excitement there. There's so much joy that comes from desire. Proverbs 13:19 says, accomplished desire is sweet to the soul. When you get to accomplish that thing that you desire and you get to be a part of that thing that you so want to be with, let me tell you what, it's sweet. But understand that desire does a couple things in our life. Naturally, desire will do a couple things in our life. And I've got 5 minutes up there. Number one, it'll cause us to separate. Desire will cause us to separate. Now, we almost treat separation like a bad word. ooh, separate? I don't want to separate. You understand everything we do in life is a separation to something else? You choose, for some of you, as you went to college, you chose a college. You were separating yourself from every other college that you chose. When you choose a mate, you're separating yourself from every other one. When you choose your meal, you're separating yourself from every other restaurant. You choose a church, you're separating yourself from every other church. You understand that? Every decision we make causes us to join something and separate from something. Everything. And here, look at this proverb. It says, through desire, a man having separated himself. I think of when I was really heavy into basketball, and I thought I was going to play college ball for Iowa State, and I worked so hard. I would go to the gym regularly, and my friends would say, "Hey man, you want to go hang out at the movies?" I'd say, "No, I'm going to the gym. I got to work on my calves. I got to make sure I can jump." And they'd say, "Hey, do you want to go hang out? We're gonna go swimming." "No, I'm gonna I got to go run the track for a while and see. I got to drop some weight. I've been eating too much food. I need to lose some weight. We got a big game. Hey man, do you want to do this?" "No, I can't do this." What was I doing? I was separating myself for something else. You see, all these athletes, there are certain things that they don't do. You'll never see a professional athlete on a motorcycle. You want to know why? Their contract prohibits it because it's dangerous. And so they separate. It's dangerous, isn't it? Her husband is an avid motorcycle rider. Well, not recently, but you'll never see them on a motorcycle because it's dangerous. And so they have to separate themselves from that. Many will stay away from fast food. You want to know why? It's bad for them in their field. You see, we're constantly in a separation from something. Constantly. The Bible here, in the Gospel of Luke 16:13, it says, "No man can serve two masters." It's impossible. You can't be a vegetarian and go to a steakhouse. I'm sorry. Steak's on the menu. You can't have two masters. And I think as Christians, we have gotten to the point where we want to serve God, but we want the world. And we're holding on to him saying, I can have both, but you can't. Because even if you're holding on a little bit to the world, that means you're loosening up a little bit on Christ. And so the Bible says, through desire, a man having separated himself, he separates from those things that are bad for him. Would you take your Bible and would you go to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And I want you to look at verse number 11. It says, "O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not strengthening us, but ye are strengthening your own bowels for our recompense in the same. I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged." He says this in verse 14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." You know what he's saying? Don't get hitched up with unbelievers. He's saying don't, there's several applications of this, but I think the context is talking about marriage. He's saying don't get married with someone who does not believe in Christ. If you're a Christian and they're not, you are unequally yoked. But let me tell you what, in day-to-day life, there are some friendships that should not be made because you're unequally yoked. You need to separate. It says here, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship," listen, "what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" Now, I don't know about you, but righteousness, unrighteousness, they're two separate things on opposite sides of the spectrum. Unrighteousness, bad. Righteousness, good. Righteousness is light. Unrighteousness, darkness. So how in the world can we mix light with dark? We can't. It does not work, and it should not work. And so we must separate ourselves to some things. Then look what he says here in verse number 17. He says, wherefore, because of what I just told you, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So often we see that, and you know what we think? Well, there goes my fun. Well, there goes all my friendships. Well, there goes, and we think that this is a decree from God that we must live a boring life. No. This is what he's saying. Look what he says in verse 18. And I will be your father. He's not talking about this for some religious parameter. He's talking about this for a relationship. Brother Edwin, you get June 28th, you got married to Miss Julianne. Now, when you got married, did she say, well, we're married, but you can have all the girlfriends you want? Did you say that? I hope not. Because you had a relationship with her. It means one. You separated to her. Not separated from the world, but separated to her. You know what God's saying? I don't want you to be separated from the world. I want you to be separated to me. Because it's too hard to separate from the world, but it's easy to separate to God when you love Him. It's so hard to separate ourselves from the all the things that this world has to offer. You know, the Bible says that there's pleasure in sin. Hey, sin is really fun to do. Let me tell you what. Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without Him, I would fall. You see what he's saying? He's saying, forget about the world and come to me. Because if you come to me, you don't have to worry about the world. There's a natural separation that takes place. And lastly, I'm way over my time. Lastly, go back to our text there in Proverbs. The Bible says, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. The second thing we see here is there becomes a seeking, a looking. You see, there's a natural separation, but there is also a natural seeking that happens. You know, car guys, you know what happens when car guys get together? They begin to talk about cars. I was out with Dennis a couple months ago, and as we were out of coffee, this guy drove up in this really nice motorcycle. You know what he did? He almost broke his neck trying to look at that thing. If you're a sports guy, you will seek out sports. If you're a politics guy, you're going to be looking out for politics. If you're a God person, you're going to be seeking Him out. It becomes something you want. And you just can't shake it. You say, man, I gotta find some time alone. Jesus, one of that story that we talked about last week, right between where he fed the 5,000, and where he was talking to the people after he walked on water. It said Jesus got away in a mountain. He said, I've got to spend time with God. I just have to spend some time with God. I got to seek him out. I just have to spend some time with God. I need to. Psalm 38, verse 9 says, "The Lord, all my desire is before thee." He says, "Oh Lord, all my desire is before thee." When we have a relationship with God, it's, everything in my life is about you. Have you ever been around someone that all they talk about is one thing? There's a person we know. Every time I see him, we talk about one of two things. Casinos. He likes going to the casinos and gambling. And models. Not models as in runway models. Model boats and things like that. Two things we talk about. That's it. Every time I see him, I already know we're talking about one of those two things. Why? Because he likes casinos and he likes model boats. Because it's something he desires. It's in him. He's got to talk about it. He can't help it. It's just there. What does the psalm say? "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul desires thee." I tell you what, we must be like that. As someone that's thirsty, saying, "Oh Lord, I need you. I need you like a glass of water in a hot desert. I've got to have you." That word intimetalith. That word, we don't use that too often now. But that word intimetalith is the idea of interfering or destroying or trying to get through things. Have you ever lost something and you had to try to find it? Wherever you're looking is an utter mess because you're flipping things over, you're looking through things, you're pulling out things, you're moving everything over. That's the same idea with this idea of intermeddleth. You are doing all you can to find anything that will help you in your desire. You're looking through this, and you're here, you're in your Bible, you're at the church, you're talking to this person, you're going to this conference, you're going over here. You can't get it out of your system. It's a part of you. That's why Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." It's not a command, it's a desire. That's why, as he told the disciples, he says, "If any of you will follow me, take up thy cross." He says, "Take up your cross. Follow me." Because it's a desire. If I have to do this, this is what I'm going to do. If this is what I have to do to get close to you, I'll do it. First Peter 2:2 says, "As a newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word." You know, some of you ladies have been in the nursery. Some of you have babies yourself. When that baby's hungry, there's nothing getting in that baby's way. Oh, my boy, this afternoon, you should have heard him. I'm trying to work. I want to work on his cry. It's kind of this high-pitched squeal. Have you heard it? I'm trying to get him down to a baritone. He's got a really high tenor right now, almost a soprano. It's But man, when he's hungry, that scream, oh, it'll curdle your blood. I'll do anything. I'll start moving things out of the way. I'll get that bottle ready. I'll get it in his mouth, and all of a sudden, he's quiet. I'll look at him and go, "You happy, boy?" And he'll. When you have a desire for something, you seek it out, don't you? Let me ask you something. This week, or this past week, have you separated yourself to God? not from the world, but to God. Number next, are you seeking Him out? Not just Him, but everything about Him. Every single thing. Oh, sure, we want the blessings like those people do. We want to see God bless. And we want to work in the ministry. We want to see God work. And we want to see God heal and all the miraculous things that happen there, but that's a part of Him, but I want Him. Are you seeking Him out today? Through desire. Through desire. What type of desire do you have today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father,